Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio.
When you can, silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Good evening. Our guest today is a recurring guest, Miss Debbie Boswell. Debbie, how are you?
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Yes, hi. How are you?
We need an update because, you know, you have been such a wonderful guest. And we need an update on everything that has been happening with this wonderful writer and playwright. Please share with our audience.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? 2012 has been a lot of firsts. I was in L.A. in April. They had a festival of books. It was called the L.A. Times Festival of Books, and it was my very first book signing. My first formal book signing. So I was excited and I was nervous at the same time. Because
a happy
one,
nerve, right?
I hadn't flown in so long and I was traveling alone. And that's something that I had, never done. I was always with family or at least with someone. But this time, I was all by myself, and so that was like a maiden voyage.
right.
So it was a little spooky, exciting, but a little spooky. And then, I was never in California before either. You know, it's just one of those places where you say maybe I'll get there one day, someday.
Right.
Well, I got there, and then I was also nervous because I said, gee, how is this going to turn out? Suppose, I'm ready to do the signing and maybe nobody shows up. Am I going to just hear crickets? It was the biggest fear that I had. I was so scared that there was somebody else who was before me that was doing a signing, and I even said to them, what if nobody shows up? They told me, don't worry. You're worrying for nothing. Believe me, look, people are going to come watch this. Well, I was humbled by the amount of people that came to the signing.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I was just floored at how many people had such an interest in the book. And some, it's not just about the book. Some of them want to know maybe what prompted me to write it or how can they get started. Sometimes people just need a positive word. And some of the things that go through my mind is, remember when that teacher or maybe that other student said something that really made me feel like I was nobody?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad I didn't listen to them.
This is a young lady who was an accountant who did not enjoy being an accountant, but it was a nice, safe, comfortable job. I mean, let's face it, it was. Tell the audience that didn't hear your other episode on Facet Gem what the book is about and, you know, and really what got you to that point.
Well, this book, which is actually my second book, is called A House of Mirrors. And my first book was Miriam's Journey, and
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from doing the first book, which I applied to the second book.
Right.
But anyway, I was in accounting, and, well, I didn't entirely leave it. I still have my foot in the door because I could still, you know, make some money from that.
Right.
But it was not my passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that a lot of my positive energy was leaking out
mm-hmm.
before the end of the day. I mean, when you get up in the morning, I just didn't want to be one of those people anymore that I'm unhappy going to my job.
Right.
I mean, I shouldn't have to go to a job where I'm either in tears or I'm choking back tears.
Right.
Or I'm in an environment where I spend so much energy having to protect myself against the office politics.
Right.
You know, always looking over my shoulder.
Exactly.
Who's going to report something to the boss? Something that's so, you know, ridiculous, but they'll make a thing out of it.
Inconsequential, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, they'll make a thing. And then I might be getting yelled at over nothing.
Right.
And it was just so dehumanizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I went to school for this?
Exactly.
No, this doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, is it worth the paycheck
mm-hmm.
to go through this? And then your health starts to go south.
Exactly. It affects everything about you. I mean, really, all facets of your life, your interaction with your family, with your friends, with everybody. And that's when I'm so glad that we met and that you're able to talk about how you took stock of your life and took responsibility for really your future and how you then decided that this was something that, although everyone really wasn't on board necessarily, the bold step that you took to pursue your writing career and to, you know, market not only the writing, ladies and gentlemen, but also she candle maker, and she was just really almost a jack of all trades almost, because, I mean, you were just really trying to reinvent yourself. At the same time, as you said, you have accounting to fall back on. Let's be real. You do.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. But the transition was, it was a little scary, but
mm-hmm.
I think I was so angry that anger took away some of the fear. I think
right.
I had to get good and angry enough to make that change.
Because
mm-hmm. deep down, I know that I didn't want to be where I was,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know how to move from point A to point B. So I think I just had to have that moment where I just couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
And I said, you know, that's it.
Right.
That's it. So I guess maybe it's different for everybody, but for me, I just had to be so angry where I was just not that scared anymore. You know, it's fear of the unknown.
I don't know what that catalyst is going to be, that defining moment, you know. And it might be, to someone else, it's just like someone says, you know, the camel's back is what the whatever the situation is that breaks the camel's back, that might seem so inconsequential. It might seem like something so simple, so minor to someone else. It might just be that one thing that says, oh, puts you over the edge and says, you know what, that's it. That's the defining moment. And it's different for each person, as you said. What was the defining moment for you? What was it that, if you can recall, what made you so angry that you decided, oh, I've had enough? Do you recall?
I think it was a multifaceted situation, but okay. One of the winds that blew me over was I had a cat that was ill, but I had to go out and work that tax season, and I would go to the office and I would work, but the cat was at the vet,
mm-hmm.
and my mind was there, but I was at this new place because I was temping by this point. So I would, you know, I would be at a different place, and I would learn the ropes of, you know, how they do their, you know, their operations. Everybody mm-hmm. does things differently.
Right.
And there was this one young woman there who just didn't like me from the get-go. The mm-hmm. moment I walked through the door, and I had her number, I knew exactly who she was.
Right.
And she wasn't going to tolerate me for, you know, just for the season. She wasn't going to deal with me. And she just made things uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was a meeting that was scheduled for 2:00, she wouldn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
She would keep that from me, and then I would suddenly find out, and I would end up going there late, and I would look bad.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's just these little things that made you look incompetent.
Right.
And I was a different person at the time. And it was kind of easy to make me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last straw was I had to put the cat down. She just couldn't survive the way she was. And I accepted that it was best for her.
Right.
But this woman made me look so incompetent on the job that it was my word against hers.
Mm-hmm.
That, let's say it was Friday when I had to say goodbye to my pet
mm-hmm.
that evening, and I'm supposed to, I was working, say, like 6 days a week because, you know, it was overtime, and I get a call from the agency. Did anybody call you? No, nobody spoke to me. Don't bother coming in. Friday was your last day.
Wow.
And I knew she manipulated something.
Right, right.
And there was no explanation, nothing, just don't bother. And it was just so abrupt, so
mm-hmm.
rude. And
right.
I was already in mourning.
Exactly.
That I said, you know what? I'm done. Because this wasn't just one time. This had been abuse that was going on for a long time. Whether I worked permanently or whether I took 1 year projects or 6 month projects, they were just mentally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I said, why am I doing this to myself? They don't
mm-hmm.
even see you as a human. They don't even know.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's really... You know, for each person, and for you, it's just so emotionally wrenching, though. I mean, because like you said, you were going through a period of mourning. Then you were dealing with someone who obviously didn't want you there, perhaps felt threatened, whatever it was. But out of that negative, hurtful scenario, look at what you have gained. I mean, you know, it would have been something else. It would have, because you were meant to be at the point that you're at right now. You were meant to be there, to arrive at this point, and obviously to achieve onward and upward through this. But, you know, everybody has a different defining moment, and yours, you know, it was a combination of things.
that was the one that made me say I wasn't going back. But I was such a glutton for punishment because I had to go through a series of, you know, abuse before I would finally, you know, come to the conclusion, why are you doing this to yourself?
Right.
And this is not even your calling. I mean, it's good that you have a marketable skill.
Right.
But you've got other marketable skills that you're not using. And in fact, I even wrote a screenplay loosely based on that, not on the cat incident, but just what happened that fall winter.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten this fantastic story out of it. That was how I dealt with it.
Wow.
I wrote a screenplay. I haven't done anything with it, but I just got this spectacular story. That's how I was able to cope because I was such a wreck.
You know, and I must admit, I'm one of them. It's very cathartic to write, and that's why. You know, so you use this vehicle in a constructive way, in something very sad and very poignant, to get something out that I'm sure other people have shared, and they can empathize with exactly what you went through. And that's where that commonality, that thread comes through. And that's what becomes popular, so to speak, because other people can relate to that incident or that feeling or that situation. And it's not foreign. And for those that haven't experienced it or whatever, it's like, whoa, this is heavy. You know, I didn't realize someone could go through all of this. Let's say even for a pet or for, you know, it's just, because pets are not just pets for a lot of people. Pets are people for a lot of people. Pets are family for a lot of people. Pets provide so much for a lot of people. And for some people, that's a totally foreign concept. So I'm saying that to say, you know, out of that, even out of that sorrow, you were able to develop a work of art that, you know, at some point you may feel you want to market, that you want to share. And it may be something that you also may want to keep secret and private, but it might be something that at some point you may want to share, and you may find that there's a following of people who say, wow, I went through something similar, or I can empathize with that, or you simply educate people on how someone can feel that strongly about an animal, about a pet. You know, there's a lot of levels to that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I think what really bothered me was that they don't even get to know you as a human being.
Right.
It's just you're not a person.
Right.
That was the problem. You're not a person. You don't belong. I think that was the ongoing theme, that, you know, I didn't belong. But the pain is also a gift. I say that with a bit of a grudge, though, because like going through that.
No, you know, but as we talk about, you know, people going through different careers and finding something else they want to do, and, you know, this show, this is Faceted Gems on Neil Blake Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and it's the reason that Neil allowed me to do this show really is because we wanted to get people to understand that they are capable of doing more than one thing well, and that's why it's called Faceted Gems, because we're all faceted gems. But we also need to live, and you also need to have a marketable skill, and you also need to be able to sustain yourself. And it's not about telling people just go out there and do whatever you want to do, but the fact is that we have a lot of skill sets that we don't necessarily use, and we need to take the time to develop them, but it can be kind of scary. And that's something that you also mentioned in a previous show that we had, that it's a leap of faith. And everybody has talked about that leap of faith. And some people have studied, they've gone to the library, they've requested help from experts, they've done a lot of soul searching, they've done a variety of different things before they got to the point that they're at. And also some people have scrubbed what they were doing and said, that worked for a while, but it doesn't work forever. Let me go on to something else. But every experience, even when it's failed, there's been positive in each one of those experiences. And that's a wonderful thing to come away with, because I think that's what living is about. That's what life is supposed to be about, that we have those experiences that we learn from. Even the failures are good things.
Actually, yes, I've learned a lot from my mistakes or from something that was, I have to say, quote-unquote, bad,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes what you think is bad isn't necessarily bad. It was really the best thing to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look back, you realize, you know, it was good that happened, because maybe, you know, I never would have gotten from point A to point B if this hadn't happened.
Right.
I would have still been there,
right,
and not have moved. Sometimes it's just very hard to make that move. So you need a little push.
What is next for you? What else is happening with you?
Well, recently I was in Miami, and I had fun there. I wish I could have stayed there an extra day, but I couldn't. But I did another book signing, and I was a more seasoned traveler this time.
Right.
Because Los Angeles was the what's that expression? Oh, it broke the ice. With the ice, though. This time I was more experienced.
You're seasoned now, almost seasoned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there was another book festival. It was the Miami International Book Fair. Oh, that was amazing. And I had a great turnout. And the word I have to say is humbled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just humbled, because you can be a great writer, a great dancer, singer, teacher, whatever the gift is. You need your audience, or if you're a teacher, you need your students, you need the crowd. You need the support. So when they come to you, it's a wonderful feeling. That, you know, you feel that you're reaching out to people, you're doing something that moves them, you know?
Right.
That's a feeling that I wish I had the words for that. Ironically, I wish I had the words, but I was so happy.
Well, at some point I'm sure you will, because you're very talented, and I love the fact that you're very open, and that's why you're a wonderful guest on Faceted Gems, because...
Thank you.
I think it's wonderful for people to hear from others that it's possible to do. And, you know, when we first met, all of this hadn't happened for you yet. So for me and for listeners to see you go through this journey and to see you develop and grow and, you know, to be excited about the next steps and the next stages and the next things you're going to learn. And, I mean, when we first met, you weren't even thinking about, you know, you know, book signings. What? I mean, you know, and this is great. And that's why people need to have that faith and that understanding and know it is possible. And it's something that we can attain, but it takes time. It takes effort. It takes some courage. And you need to know that you're not alone, and I think that's wonderful, because that's what we need to be able to do for each other. We need to be able to encourage each other. And Faceted Gems, I've been very lucky and fortunate that I've had guests that have been able to share with us some of their insights, such as yourself. And that's really what this is about. I know that you have been inspirational to other people that may not even say that to you, but simply people that have listened to you, whether at the book screenings or book shows or book signings or perhaps even here. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to come on Faceted Gems and share with us what's happened with you, because it really has been a wonderful journey. Not just you. I've enjoyed, you know, listening to you and talking to you and finding out what's been going on with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate hearing that, because I realized that I didn't want to live a life where you know, I just breathed. I just existed. What was I contributing? Am I doing anything?
Right. You are doing a lot. I want you to know. And that's why I thank you. And that's why, you know, we do. We love everyone. You know, we empower, we insist when we can, and dream and believe in the positive energy within. Our guest tonight has been Debbie Boswell. And please, thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much for being on Faceted Gems. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and good night. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
You're listening.